Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. What's on your mind today? Let's talk about it right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Boy, we're always thinking we need something more as far as this Christian life is concerned, but Peter tells us exactly the opposite. He tells us that we have everything that we need for life and godliness. Yeah. It's already been given to us. And through this, that we may become partakers of the divine nature and escape from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. That is such good news, guys. The fact that when we come to Christ, the very moment that we've come to Christ, we become new creatures in Christ, new creations. And with that, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. There's nothing more that we need. We don't need to go out on this search for more. In Christ, we have everything. Why is it that the Christian world can't grasp that, can't relax in that, can't embrace that, and truly live out what they have in Jesus?
Yeah, you know, you think about all of the stress where we're trying to hunt for more and chase down closeness and search for intimacy and five steps here and three steps there. And, you know, you're right, Bob, that there's only one truth that is going to relax us. There's only one reality that is going to get us back to our focus, and that is God's got this. He's equipped us. He's given us everything. We're totally forgiven. We're right with Him. We've got all of Jesus. We don't need to go shopping for more. We've become partakers of His divine nature. I mean, all of this enables us to relax in Him. And then it goes on to say, well, let's supply moral excellence. How could you do that? Only by having everything you need in Him. Let's supply self-control. Well, how could we choose that? Only by having everything we need in Him. So you'll notice the divine order of things. He doesn't set out saying, please behave, everybody. He doesn't say, hey, dear friends in Christ, good afternoon. Here's your letter I want to write you now. Please shape up, behave, and act differently. No, he doesn't start with behavior. He starts with the equipping. And I think that's where the Christian world, we all need to come back and remember, hey, it's not about stepping out in action first. It's all about faith and confidence and knowing that we're equipped for the journey before we ever set out.
And that's exactly what Peter is talking about in his second letter. And we want to encourage our listeners today to really take a look at that passage, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. And I think it will be a real encouragement to you, a real blessing in your life. And if you will just say, Lord, I don't know exactly what this means, but you say I have everything, and I'm trusting you to reveal that to me and to enable me to live that out on a day-by-day basis, I think it will absolutely revolutionize your life. That's what this grace of God is all about. You've got it all, folks. Everything you need for life and godliness has already been poured into you through Jesus Christ Himself.
We'd love to talk with you about it, friends. If you can get to a phone right now, if it's the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, as you well know, we're moving toward the Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday season and the end of another calendar year. And emailing back and forth with my CPA kind of brought to mind that some of us could be looking at a favorable tax-reducing year-end gift to support Basic Gospel. Now, in conjunction with that, Richard, talk to our listeners a little bit about where Basic Gospel is insofar as paying our radio stations and meeting all the other expenses of the ministry and where we need to be by the end of the year.
Well, we're in Lewisville, Texas, and we send checks to all of the radio stations. Now, we need $270,000 between now and the end of the year. It's just normal expenses. I mean, we're a little behind in some areas. We're all caught up in others. This is normal operating the way it works here.
Yeah.
And what we're asking for is that people will follow God's lead in their hearts, open their hearts and their pocketbooks, and say, I want to support this message. I want people to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
We will never guilt you. We will never tell you that you're going to lose things if you don't pay us. Why would we do that? I mean, it's pointless to
right.
do that. All yeah. we would do is chase you away and prove to you that we're exactly the opposite of everything we've been saying for the last nearly 40 years. This is about the love of God working through each of us, overflowing us to other people. Sometimes it overflows in actions like having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it overflows in actions like giving money to a different ministry.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to do. And what will happen? I mean, people are always wondering, what do I get out of this? Well, I will guarantee you that if you give to the gospel, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to manage your money.
Yeah.
It's just the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
There's no quid pro quo here. You don't give in order to get. It's the Holy Spirit working in you so that you can give.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is say, like we were talking about in 2 Peter, Lord, teach me what it means that you've given me all of this stuff for life and godliness. Teach me what it means to support somebody else in the proclamation of it. Just that simple.
Just that simple. And friends, those are the reasons and that we appreciate and need your support here at Basic Gospel. And when you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of Bob Christopher's message, Everything You Need for Life and Godliness, that he was talking about just earlier in the broadcast. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Basic Gospel. You'll find all the ways to make your gift when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. Of course, in Canada, you can give through basicgospel.net/Canada. We would love for you to partner with us. Now, here's a question in conjunction with that. The name of Bob's message, Everything You Need for Life and Godliness, is, of course, perfectly in line with Scripture. But what is godliness, guys? What does godliness look like?
Well, I think we have to remember that godliness is not a characteristic off in the corner that we go grab sometimes. I mean, it's not like the worldly notion of honesty or kindness or politeness. You know, godliness is godlikeness. And how in the world would we ever display godliness without God? And so I think of 1 Corinthians 13, for example. It says, you know, if you give your body to be burned and you make all these sacrifices, and you turn out to be a martyr and you've given away everything you own and you're so sacrificial, but you do not possess agape, well, then it profits you nothing. It's not worth anything. Well, likewise, you know, we can't possess agape without possessing God living in us. God is love and God is godliness. So if you follow my train of thought here, you know, when I think of expressing godliness, I think of expressing Christ. And where is that going to come from? Only by letting. You know, I love that word let, L-E-T, a three-letter word that can change everything about our Christian lives. You know, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. This sort of letting, it implies that we can do that. I mean, how is it that we can let, wake up every day and let Christ live in us, let Christ live through us? Well, it's because of what we just read in 2 Peter, because he's equipped us, because he's given us everything, because he's rigged it with Christ living in us, now we can wake up every day and let Christ live. It's only one choice away. Godliness is Jesus, and godliness is always a decision away in terms of our attitudes and actions. All we have to do is let Christ be Christ.
Yeah. It's that word of faith, isn't it? It's
yes.
Just trusting Jesus, abiding in the vine, and allowing him to do his thing.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, we clarified the issue of godliness in conjunction with Bob's message. Everything we need for life and godliness has been supplied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks, guys, for that explanation and that description of godliness. Friends, if you're looking at the clock and it's approaching 10 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast. We want to hear from you. Give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Join the conversation here at Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley's joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me, and we want you to do that as well. 844-322-2742. In the meantime, guys, a Facebook question from Kelly. Does walk in the Spirit mean walking with the Holy Spirit or walking with Jesus?
Well, first of all, guys, I think we want to take a quick look at some prepositions. And why would I say that? Because, you know, walking in the Spirit is not really what the Bible expresses to us. We are always in the Spirit. Romans 8 tells us you are no longer in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. That's a new location. That's new geography. That is your new beautiful place in Christ, in the Spirit. Now, just because you're in the Spirit doesn't mean you're left to a life of passivity. I mean, we wake up every day and we choose how to walk and we choose how to set our minds. And that's where this other word comes in. We can walk by the Spirit or we can walk by the flesh. Now, if I choose to walk by the flesh and I live in the Spirit, well, there's going to be a conflict there. I mean, look at my design. I am designed to walk by the Spirit. Why? Because I live in the Spirit. You know, it's like right now, I live in Texas. That's where I live, and, you know, I talk like a Texan and walk like a Texan, but I could also put on a Boston accent. I could talk like a guy from Boston. Well,
You really shouldn't do that.
Yeah,
I'm just
really
saying. Really,
right, Connecticut.
It doesn't fit who you are, man.
Exactly, and that's my point. You see, my talk is not matching my location. I live in Texas, but I'm trying to put on an accent. I'm trying to put on a walk or a talk that doesn't fit where I live. Well, likewise, that is exactly what Paul is saying. Because you're a child of light, walk as a child of light. Because you're in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. So as far as who is it, well, it's Jesus, it's the Spirit, it's all of the above. Paul calls him the Spirit of Christ. I mean, it's an expression of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is Jesus. So we don't have to be baffled by that. It's just the Trinity. It's a beautiful mystery. We embrace that. But the main thing I wanted to really share today, guys, is just the difference between my permanent location. You will never be out of the Spirit. You are always in the Spirit, but there's two ways to walk. Let's let our walk match our new location.
Yeah, that is really, really good insight. And, you know, as far as Jesus or the Spirit, like you said, it is the doctrine of the Trinity. When we receive Christ, it says Christ has come to live inside of us. There are passages that say the Spirit of God has come to live inside of us. There are other passages that says that God abides with us, that God abides in us. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit living in us. Why? Because God is one. But we know we're walking. It's the Spirit. It's not the physical Jesus that came to live inside of us. It's the Spirit of Jesus that came to live inside of us. And so that's where we live, and that's you know, the one who leads us. We walk by him. And I love what Paul goes on to say later in Galatians 6, that since we live by the Spirit, that's where life is. It's in the Spirit. So since we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. It just makes total sense. Yeah, Paul put it another way in Ephesians: you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. It's just logic. It's just a divine logic. You were something. Now God has created you to be something different, and you should live as this new creation in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And, of course, our live broadcast occurs between 3 and 3:25 p.m. Central Time every day. But you can get a question to us if you have one any time of the day, 24 hours a day, as a matter of fact. 844-322-2742. That number is available right now and around the clock, 844-322-2742. Or you can just drop an email, as Jose did, to bob@basicgospel.net. Jose's question: please help me understand Acts 8:12-17 that says the Samaritans believed the gospel preached by Philip and were baptized in the name of Jesus, but did not receive the Holy Spirit until it was imparted to them by the laying on of hands of the apostles.
Well, it's a great question. It's one we get all the time, because certainly Acts chapter 8 is fuel for the idea. You know, many push the idea that you get saved at first and then later you get the Spirit. There's a second blessing, a second portion, a second experience that you should pursue. But when you look a little closer at this passage, guys, I mean, first of all, you've got Simon the sorcerer. He's a story on his own. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't get it. He's trying to pay for the Holy Spirit. He's trying to fork over $50 in order to get the Spirit, so he clearly doesn't understand the free gift of salvation. And then you've got this curious wording in verse 12 of Acts 8. It says, "When they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." So this is talking about baptism in water, and you'll notice the message, they've heard something about a kingdom and something about a name, but they really, you have to say, where's the message at this point? I mean, where's the cross? Where's the resurrection? You could say that perhaps they've got a smidgen of the message. Maybe Philip did his job and they just didn't capture it, or maybe Philip didn't quite have it. I don't know what to conclude, but I will say that the John the Baptist message sounded really familiar, really similar to this. I mean, you know, John the Baptist talked about a kingdom to come, and he talked about repentance and turning from your bad ways. And then he said, look, there's the Lamb of God, the name of Jesus. There he is, right over there, Messiah. But that wasn't enough to save. I mean, what John said wasn't enough. Maybe either what Philip said wasn't enough, or they just didn't grab it because they were left without the Spirit. And so we know from Galatians 3, how are we saved? How do we receive the Spirit? It is by hearing with faith. So when we hear the message, the whole message, the truth, nothing but the truth, well, that is how we receive the Spirit. So when we get that message of death, burial, and resurrection, and Jesus being the focus of that gift of salvation, we open the door of our lives. That's how he comes in. I don't think the people were there yet. They came to that realization later. They're like, Spirit, what are you talking about? And so clearly, you know, they didn't even know about being a possessor of the Holy Spirit. So they were missing a significant portion of the message.
Well, another aspect of this, I think, is the unfolding of the gospel in the world. So we see the book of Acts kind of outlined at the very first. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the other utter ends of the earth. And we see the gospel message taking that route. It was first delivered in Jerusalem. We see the Jews receiving the message and the Spirit being poured out on them on the day of Pentecost. And here we see the same thing happening to the Samaritan people. Now, this was unheard of in the Jewish mind, or in the Jewish discussions. They would have never dreamed in a million years that Samaritans would have been included in this gospel message. And so they needed Peter and John there to confirm what God was about to do, and that was to pour his Spirit out on the Samaritan people. And so that's why we see it the way it is. And then in Acts chapter 10, we see it going out to the Gentile world as Peter explained the good news to Cornelius and his household. And as he's explaining, boy, the Holy Spirit is just poured out and they receive it. And so Peter is a witness at all three of these. He sees the Holy Spirit being poured out on the Jews, day of Pentecost, Samaritans here, and then the Gentiles. And so he had taken those keys that Jesus had given him, the keys to the kingdom, and he had used it and unlocked the door of the gospel to each of these people groups. And what was the gift of God to each and every one? The gift of God's Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's a powerful, powerful story. Yeah, Richard?
Yeah, there's another parallel to this in Acts 19 with Paul in Ephesus. right? He shows up and he meets these disciples and they're talking about Jesus, but they're not talking about Jesus the right way. And he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And and they end up getting it because Paul explains
completes
Jesus
the
to
message
them,
for
completes
them.
The message. And then we discover that in Ephesus, Satan was particularly active in sorcery and in the magic arts. And because of some of the things that occurred, you get the impression that Satan was trying to prevent people from hearing about the Holy Spirit, and it turns out that he fails miserably. The sons of Sceva demonstrate that. And people, even believers, brought all of their books on sorcery, 137 years worth of books in terms of finances. I mean, it's thousands and thousands of dollars of books. And they bring them in and they burn them, and the whole thing just takes off in Ephesus, because now God is free to work, and he's just moving ahead, and Paul and the rest of them are trying to keep up.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Thanks, Jose, for your question. You know, another of the perpetual questions we get around here at Basic Gospel is how much we should give to our church or our favorite ministry, and more specifically about tithing. So to help our listeners fully understand the issue, Basic Gospel has produced this booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way, and we want you to have an absolutely free copy of it today. Just go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find it on the scroll through there, and we encourage you to go right now. Basicgospel.net. Shifting gears pretty significantly for this question. This is about the rapture, guys, and it's from an anonymous caller. What is going to happen in the last days before the rapture?
Well, this is one that we toss around every month or so. People want to know exactitudes. They want to know how to look forward to the return of the Lord, and what's the timing going to be, and what order are things going to happen in.
Yeah. I mean, and in particular, based on the election 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Who's the Antichrist,
yeah.
Right? It's interesting that this is a big deal for people. I just want to share my personal view on it. I mean, you know, first, I think it's very comforting what Paul teaches to the Thessalonians and throughout the New Testament that we have a hope beyond this curtain called death, physical death. When that curtain is drawn back, we're immediately with the Lord and we're in his presence. And so there's a mystery to that, but I don't think that we're in a holding tank or circling the heavenly airport for thousands of years waiting to land. We're immediately with our Father. So if I die today, and one of you guys dies in 10 years, let's say, and I'm not wishing that on you, by the way, but, you know, we all die at different times. And if I were to die today and you were to die then, how is all of this time thing working in heaven? Well, heaven is eternity. And, you know, time has been created by God. And I don't understand it all, but I guess what I'm saying is, there's a bunch of believers in that New Jerusalem that come down out of the sky. They're ready to meet those who are still on the earth, and we meet the Lord in the air if we're still on the earth. We come down with him out of the sky if we're already in heaven. But when we hit eternity, I'm just saying, it wouldn't surprise me if the first thing we experienced was this grand celebration at the end of the age and being ushered into a new life in Christ that has nothing to do with the sun and the moon and the stars and the rotation of the earth and a 24-hour day. I don't think that's what we're going to be celebrating. I think we're going to be celebrating Jesus. And for me, guys, the rapture, it's real, it's literal. There's a return of Christ, there's a rescue, but the big deal of it is not the timing or the details, but thank you, Lord, that I get a new resurrection body, that I get to see my Father face to face, that I get to participate in a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't understand all the physics of it. It's pretty wild stuff. Yeah. But I just got to trust that God, the Creator, he knows what he's doing on all that.
Well, as we come down, it's going to be so much more fun than just doing a skydive. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Well, friends, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. Did you know that we have received everything that we need for life and godliness in the person of Jesus Christ? That's the name of Bob Christopher's message from 2 Peter chapter 1. We'd love to send you a copy just to say thanks for your support of Basic Gospel. Request your copy when you make your gift today to support this ministry. You'll find all the ways to make your gift when you visit the website basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. And in Canada, you can go to basicgospel.net/Canada. Remember, too, that if you have a question between now and our next broadcast, call our 24-hour listener line, 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. It's available 24 hours a day, and we would love to address your question here at Basic Gospel. We can do it in your own voice. But contrary to that, you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all of our ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for that excellent series in 1 John. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.